Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I went from 4 girls to 5 girls to 8 girls to 16 girls to Cadillacs to Rolls Royces to presidential, spent $100,000 with Jacob and buying jewelry over here. You know, I just went crazy, man. I went platinum on Coochie, you know.
Wow.
Like, niggas was going platinum when I was going platinum on Coochie. I was making $1 million off the Coochie. And that's how I became, you know, Ken Ivy, the pimp. So the Pimps Up, Hoes Down thing came later. So when they came because we was at a Players Bar with Ice-T. And they asked me, can they film me? I said, come to Milwaukee. At this time, I had a little clothing store downtown, you know what I'm saying? But it was like about 10,000 square foot. It was big, you know, all the players would come. You know, and they was amazed because they never seen a guy like myself that claimed to be the ism, you know, with a business. So they was like, you're different. So I negotiated. I said, I wanted more money than everybody. I want the movie to end with me. I want my name in the credits. I said, I want to keep all the money from the Players Ball, man. They gave me whatever I wanted. They wanted me that bad. And this was in 96. When the movie come out in 97, it says Pimp and Ken. I'm like, who the fuck is that? You know, I'm Ken Ivy, you know.
Oh, wow.
So they started calling me Pimp and Ken, and they put that stigma on me. And I know it was a negative stigma, but I was able to, you know, somehow benefit from it, you know, because I went out to the Mike Tyson fight. When I got to the fight, everybody was like, hey, Pimp and Ken, Pimp and Ken. So I knew that the name had stuck, you know, I couldn't do nothing about it. So I just turned a negative into a positive, man. And I shot my own movie, Pimpology. I made millions and millions of dollars. I was on BET every night. You know, they was advertising it for me. Yeah. And, you know, it was a transition, man. So I wasn't quite there yet, you know what I mean? So I still had a few bitches down, you know what I mean?
Right.
And but I knew I was a businessman. So finally, some friends of mine, they did a movie called Really, Really Pimpin' in the South. And all of them got indicted. So when the police dude that I knew, because, you know, Atlanta's black, right? You know, police is like cool. They ain't you know, other cities. You know, these niggas in the club, they smoking weed, they kicking with everybody, they tipping bitches and shit. So you see them, and, you know, I was a fly nigga, so all them niggas respected me down there in Atlanta. So he said, say, man, they got your movie in the trial of these other niggas, Pimpology. He said, man, I don't know what the point is, but they trying to say that they watch your movie to get the girls geek. I quit, you know what I'm saying? At that point, I just shut everything down. And I went completely legit. And I ain't did nothing since.
Wow.
I mean, now, let me be clear. And the women would be with me. But I'm talking about pimping. It's a different than pimping and having a girl that dance or having a girl that got street knowledge, you know what I'm saying? But as far as pimping as I knew it, it was all on the bitch, and it was just straight smashing with no passion. I ended that right there in 2000.
Right, right. So that was the breaking point for the whole pimping routine. Do you think you would have kept going for how long? You think you would have done it if it wasn't for that?
Well, see, I had a philosophy. You know, I used to hustle, right? And my brother controlled the whole neighborhood. You know, they was some major hustlers, right? And they would keep hustling, or they'd do what they do. But I always quit before it came. Like, I would have a spot, man. I was a key ass spot, and we was getting 10 bands a day, literally. You know, he said, how you get 10 bands a day? Because we used to tell the people that was buying the shit that they couldn't leave. And a lot of dudes didn't know, but I figured it out. Because I said, man, these people keep coming back and back and back. So they would hide the money in their shoe and had it, and, you know, they keep buying this, you know, the fiends are weird.
Right.
So I keep them in the house, and they all work each other. So I have like 12, 13 people in the house smoking, right? And I was getting all their money. You know, mm-hmm. This when I first came home, I was trying to make quick, man. But everybody, Spy ended up doing like 10 because I would, you know, do certain things to mess up everybody else's spot. You know, I make they spot hot. You know what I mean? I might shoot at them niggas or something, you know, something crazy, shoot at they spot, shoot they spot up. Then they run around looking for who shot they spot up. And I got my fiends, my main lady, Glow. She tell everybody, oh, they moved the spot down here, you know. So they down here. Yeah, we was doing some crazy shit, man. But, you know, now I got all the spots hot. Everybody looking to kill somebody. They look at, but they don't know who to kill.
Right.
They think the right, they think the opposite their ass, but I was the nigga that was causing all the hell.
Yeah.
And so I had lines way down here, man. Motherfuckers was just giving me money. And then I would just quit. And niggas like, man. And every nigga that try to go behind me, the spot to get raided. I be like, man, don't go in there.
Right.
Bro, that motherfucker hijacked.
Yeah, you quit for a reason.
Because as soon as I see one police car sitting there, you know, they sit there and scan the joint. I'm like, man, I'm done. You know? And niggas like, how you give up $10,000 a day? But, you know, I was so advanced that that was my strategy, you know, to quit before I got caught. So right. I would always say, you know, that I'm the gingerbread man. They got to catch me if they can.
Right. Because
I would quit. And I would leave the money, everything on the floor. And then I go and I start it over and I do that. Then, you know, it just got to a point where, you know, I ain't want to do that no more. You know what I'm saying? I said, man, I remember I was in one of my businesses and I had a 9-piece, you know. And, one of my partners, you know, he's like, man, woo, 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 man, woo, 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 woo. I said, say, man, listen, man, dude, I quit.
Yeah.
I said, here, you can have this.
Right.
Give him 9 ounces. You know what I'm saying? Nigga looked at me like I was crazy. He said, man, you using this shit? You said, what's you all right, man? I said, man, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I quit cold turkey. Same thing with the pimping.
I mean,
I got to a certain point. I seen myself on TV, Pimps Up Hoes Down.
Mm-hmm.
I was number one. You know, I bought everything, every slick car, had all the slick jewelry you could have. I had some of the prettiest bitches, man, you wouldn't believe in the world.
Right.
I mean, Puerto Rican, Dominican, bad bitches just give me all their money, man. White bitches. You know, I had 5 white bitches that won. All of them give me their money. Blind, blue eyes, 0 fat on their body. You know, I just concluded, man, you got away, dude.
Yeah.
Quit. So I just quit. Mm. And that was the end of my criminal career, you know what I'm saying? And right. I just became very savvy in business. I started selling my DVDs out to Trump. I started selling my USB, my DVDs and my VHS out to Trump. And I utilized the name Pimpin' Ken.
Right.
So everybody knew who I was. So everywhere I go to the trade shows, go to all the events, you know, BET Award, and I make $20,000-$30,000. And nobody never knew that I was making that kind of money, but they didn't know. That's just like, imagine a little Flip, a little Wayne out there selling. Everybody gonna buy from them.
Right.
Well, I was famous too.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So all the niggas was my fans. They would buy from me, but I didn't have the ability to go and perform. I couldn't go and do a right. show. I couldn't go on tour. So the only advantage I had was using my name, Pimpin' Ken, that became a household name, and just hustling niggas in the streets. So I come through Charlotte, come through here, you know, hit all these niggas up, you know what I'm saying? Me go to all the liquor stores.
Right.
I leave out that motherfucker like this, you know, with a bag. You know, I can't even put my hands around it. I'm hiding money for myself. And I did that for years, man, and that's how I survived. And, you know, of course, I opened up a lot of businesses and shit, you know what I mean? I had daycares and, you know, I had other businesses, you know what I'm saying, that sustained me. Yeah. But I couldn't stop selling the DVDs because everywhere I go,
it was nigga, gone.
Like Pimpin' Ken, you got a DVD? And so after about a year or two, I created an image for myself. So everybody expected me to have DVDs, so I got kind of creative. I started advertising my books. I started advertising movies. I started paying people to get in them. They would pay me to be in the DVD because the DVD was selling so well.
Right.
You know, niggas like, man, get me in there.
Marketing.
You know, my nigga Cash Ball, he gave me like $25,000. But he was in there rapping and shit, and I was marketing him. So I turned it into like a journal type thing, a little news magazine. So that was another way we started getting money. So I did like 7 DVDs, and I got paid on all of them. You know, one guy out of Nashville gave me $300,000.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And he partnered with me. And he partnered with me and Pimp C. So we got a deal with Universal for $3 million. Pimp C went to jail. He went to jail, and Pimp C died crazy. $3 million. We had the deal signed, everything. We never got. So that was, you know, my DVD era. You know,
yeah.
Niggas, you know, if they want to know, you know, why I sell DVDs, because there's so much goddamn money in it. And right. I get to advertise my books. I had the book, The 48 Laws of Game. And, you know, as soon as the movie starts, my book is on there. Go get Pippa Ken's new book.
Right.
You know, go to www.pippaken.net. That was my website where I had Game College. So all these niggas doing all this mentoring shit, I did that shit 20, 30 years ago, P.
Yeah, yeah,
if
for
you
sure.
remember, Lil John, www.pippaken.net, sell a bitch, push to a drip job. Wet. I was saying that 25 years ago.
Right, right.
Jermaine Dupri, I did this album in 2000. That was 25 years ago. www.pippaken.com. Niggas was coming to my Pimp College and spending $60. Yeah. Thousands. I was making $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a month. And I was just so advanced. You know, I was streaming before niggas knew what streaming was. I had Pimpology where I couldn't sell in the store no more. Even though I was selling out the trunk, I had, at that time, you remember Adobe?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so that was like a player. You could have Adobe player. So I had the player, but I had a paywall that you had to pay to get through the thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't streaming as we know it, mm-hmm. but once you got past that paywall, you could just click and watch it all you want.
Got it.
You know, but it was on Adobe Player. So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's where a lot of my entrepreneurial spirit come from, and just being a hustler.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, and the power of knowing when to stop, and not alone just, it's not completely quitting, it's knowing when to pivot. Mm-hmm. You was a master of knowing, okay, I need to pull out from this, pivot to doing something else. I think the main problem with a lot of guys, they got one game plan and that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's why they just stay in that one thing. You don't want to just specialize in one thing. If that's what you got to do, get your paper up, figure out a game plan to pivot to do something else to get your paper. And that's exactly what you did. And I think that's the same characteristic everyone got that has longevity.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's essential, man, even with the hip-hop fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we went from just the organization meeting every Monday to now we have verticals. We have over 12 businesses connected to it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? We got our own social media. We the only hip-hop social media at hhfmag.com or hhfmedia.com or thehiphopfraternity.com in the country. You know, we got our own award show.
Right.
You know, I got my own clothing line, those HHF jackets. That's our clothing line.
Yeah, that's dope.
Now we're creating a system that's connected to the blockchain as well as cryptology. Mm. And we're doing tokenization. We're also doing applications. We're doing apps. Yeah. So people will be able to come to HHF Media and buy music from artists for $1 or $2. The artists will get $1. They get a whole dollar, and we got the AI where the AI would distribute the money to the artists as well as to us, who's the ones that's servicing. You know?
Yeah. What is the mission of the hip hop fraternity? If you could put that into words.
Well, it's a black think tank. So basically, you know, your network is your net worth. Mm-hmm. So collectively, you know, we create this ecosystem that's synchronized. And we got verticals, meaning that we got HHF Magazine, HHF Radio, we got HHF Clothing, we got HHF Social Media, we got HHF Awards, we got HHF everything. Mm-hmm. So that's synchronized, you know what I'm saying? And that's an ecosystem. So now each system feeds each other. But, you know what I'm saying, we're stronger as a collective than we is as an individual.
For sure.
So it creates the unity. So you take one pistol, you can break it one crack. But because we got 40,000 members and we got a global reach of 65 million,
right.
Out of that 40,000 members, you know what I'm saying, we all connected and bound by cores of the fraternity. Mm. So when you say hip hop fraternity, you know, not only you're saying our culture, our call, we tapping back and we snatching our culture back from the culture vultures.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The people that are benefiting. Because if you look at hip hop, You know, the problem with hip hop is that, I don't know, you ever rap before?
For sure.
Okay, so as a rapper, you influence 1.8 billion. You're an influencer, mm-hmm. but you're only getting 10% of the revenue because music is 10% and it's 90% business.
Right.
So it's the music business. But, you know, as an artist, even though it's your IP, your intellectual property, you're getting a minuscule, microscopic piece of the money,
right.
especially when you look in the context of streaming. So streaming, you know, artists get 0.0.0%. Mm-hmm. So you're doing millions and millions of streams, but you're only getting $12 in the mailbox because you got to compete with Drake, you got to compete with Taylor Swift and everybody as a collector.
Right.
This is a black box. What Hip Hop Fraternity does is we throw an alarm clock in the graveyard. We waking up the dead like, hey, hold on, wait a minute. We have a system that we created that you can get the full measure of the money. We're going to teach you about cryptology, about the blockchain, about ASCAP, BMI. We're going to teach you about publishing. We're going to teach you about, you know, copyright and all of these things. So that's what we do. We teach the so-called brothers and sisters about the music business. So Hip Hop Fraternity is not the hip hop, it's the hip hop business of hip hop. So we did 90%. So we represent the business of hip hop, and our objective is to make sure that every young person understands from the ghetto that those minerals in your mouth, which is gold, silver, and oil, is coming from the crevice of the ghetto. And that it don't make sense for Universal and Def Jam and Columbia and all these other record labels, Virgin Island, you know, Interscope, you know, whomever, to be getting the money, you know, from your hard labor. But because you're ignorant and you don't understand, you're taking a deal that says, hey, rapper, let's call him rapper, we're going to give you 15% royalty, but we're going to give you a 50% production deal. So what that means? So that means that every time you sell 1 million records, you get $150,000. But the video that you're shooting costs $500,000. So they give you a 50% production deal. So a production means that you got to pay 50% of that $1 million video, which is production, is $500,000. So how many records do you got to sell at a 15% royalty that get you to that $500,000? So the artists end up being in debt. They end up losing, and the record label think like this: I'm a pimp, so you my hoe. So why would I take a hoe and make her as big as Nelly and 10 times platinum and let them succeed? Nelly, at the end of his career, 50. Pac, and all of them.
Yeah.
By the time they get to that status, the record label start doing fugazi stuff. They start sabotaging the artists. And they do that for a reason. So what Hip Hop Fraternity is we want to make sure that, hip hop artist got as much longevity as Kiss, as much as Led Zeppelin, as much as Dolly Parton, you know.
100%.
You know, I mean, so we have to, we can't put them in a system where they get destructive, they get destroyed at a certain juncture because the record label don't want them to benefit from the marketing that they did, which was their money.
Right.
If an artist sells 1 million records, the money that they're marketing with is your money. But see, it's a death trap because you're in debt the entire process of your career, and now you got your homeboys, you got all the little girls loving you.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, well, look here, rapper. Mm-hmm. You got your own publishing, you got your masters. We give you $2 million against your publishing,
mm-hmm.
but you got to pay us back. So artists end up losing their publishing. They're too embarrassed to say, man, I borrowed, you know, $8 million against my publishing. Now I can't pay them back. So they snatched my publishing, or how they lost their masters. You know what I'm saying? And that's the issue, what's going on. But what Hip Hop Fraternity does is we educate them. We say, we don't read the word compensation on a contract. Read the word obligations. What are the obligations? What is the deal that you're making? Is it the escalation clause? Is it a de-escalation clause? So that's our goal, and we're a family. So we promote each other. So if we got brothers in New York, we got brothers in Chicago, we got 38 states. So each state, you know, we make music, we send that music to that state,
right.
And they promote each other. You know, if a brother come here, we got a chapter in North Carolina, then he can automatically go to that chapter. He can perform for free. He can get in for free, and he can, you know, work with those brothers in there, and they can help him if he need help with, you know, learning the city and, you know, where the best place to perform, where to market, you know, put out flyers and posters, then they, you know, And so that's what we create. But it's a little bit more deeper than that, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's something that's vital and could be great for all artists. I mean, is it mostly artists that you support? Is it like...
No, I got over 100 executives. Remember I said we the business?
Yeah.
So a lot of my people got PhDs. They blockchain specialists, they app specialists. You know, we got our CEO of the company, a lady by the name Catrice Dungala. Mm-hmm. She's for multiple Fortune 500 companies. She used to run Home Depot. So she has a career in finance and she understands corporate governance.
Right.
So she handles the business, make sure that we got the right letterheads, make sure that, you know, our papers, you know, is good. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure when we do sell stock, we got stockholders agreements, you know, we got welcome letters. You know, we got maps and graphs, you know, all that, you know.
Everything you need.
Yeah, so she's handling that. Then we got Miss Asha Berry, Casterberry, you might have seen on CNN, all that, you know, mm-hmm. NBC News. She's our international global ambassador. Mm-hmm. So she's a TV personality. She also was the one that got us to the White House. We went to the White House 2 years ago because she was Kamala Harris' security advisor.
Oh, okay.
And so she worked personally with Kamala Harris. So Kamala Harris endorsed the hip-hop fraternity.
Oh, that's dope.
During her administration with the nonviolence initiative that we had.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, you guys got this hip-hop fraternity awards coming up. Now, are the people that are getting the awards, are they part of the hip-hop fraternity?
Oh, no. How does that work? No, it's everybody in hip-hop. So what we do is we go through Instagram and we try to pick the most electrifying characters we could find. Mm. And we get a few celebrities. You know, we get about 20, 30 celebrities. We get the high end and the low end, right. You know, the independent. And we just put them on our website, hhfmag.com. And we got a voting system. We just let people vote. So ours is organic and it's authentic.
Right.
So, you know, if you get 1 million votes, you're going to win.
Right.
And then at the end of the voting, we end the voting a week prior, and then at the end of the voting, what we do is we allow those people to come in for free, the nominees, and they get elected.
You know? That's dope. Yeah, I mean, because, so many politics in these other awards, man. People be paying their way to get an award in a lot of cases.
We'll never do that.
You
know?
Yeah.
Only time we charge if an artist want to perform.
Right.
We charge for artist performance because, we charge for vendors.
Yeah.
You know, we charge for non-nominees. So if you're a non-nominee, you want to come and see the entertainment, you got to pay.
Now, speaking about hip-hop music, I wanted to get your insight and your take on, because the ladies are really running a lot of hip-hop right now. I'm seeing them putting out hits back-to-back like the Glorillas, you got the Cardis, you know, you got the Nickies, and so many other ones. There's some dope rappers, too. But it's only one thing that I see with them. I don't see that diversity. I don't see much consciousness coming from the ladies. It's mostly, you know, being with a lot of men, getting them for their paper. But I'm not really hearing any of those with consciousness. Now, do you think that is by design, that's what's being pushed?
Social engineering is serious. You know what I'm saying? And, we have been social engineered into being buffoons.
Point podcast. More than the pie, it's a lifestyle.